I say Mark chapter 12. Is that what I said? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for your Holy Spirit that's here with us. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to pull out all the meaning and understanding and illuminate it to us now. Give us real attentive hearts, and may we grow in our relationship with you through this study, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus is in the city of Jerusalem, which was then and is still the religious center of the nation of Israel. In just a couple of days, this is Tuesday of Passion Week. And so in just a couple of days, he's going to be arrested and tried and ultimately crucified on the cross. The problem that these guys are having is at this point in time, Tuesday leading up, they don't have anything to arrest him on. He hadn't done anything wrong. If we would go over into the parallel account in Luke chapter 20, it says that the religious leaders sent spies to catch Jesus in his words, so that they could turn him over to the governor. So this is a covert operation that these guys are walking into. They're trying to trick Jesus and to trap Jesus in the question as it pertained to paying taxes, ultimately so they could deliver him to the nation of to Rome so that they would kill him. And, you know, I think you all understand, why did they want to put Jesus to death? Jesus was a threat to their position. He was a threat to their power. He was a threat to their authority, so they got to get rid of this guy because he's getting in the way of their position in power. Okay. Now, as we walk our way through the book of Mark, over the next few weeks, we're going to see that each one of the main sects of the Jews, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the Sadducees, they're all going to approach Jesus publicly, get him out in the open, and ask these kind of really hard, provocative questions to try to entice Jesus into saying something that's either blasphemous against God or treasonous against Rome. And at this point, they don't care which one. Whatever it takes for them to be able to get rid of Jesus, that's what they're about. Notice at the beginning of 13, we see that the Pharisees and the Herodians, they're going to try first. It's interesting that neither the Pharisees nor the Herodians came separately with the question. See, these two Jewish groups held polar opposite views concerning Rome and its presence in Israel. And so they had opposite views as to whether Jewish people should pay taxes to Rome or not. The Pharisees, they were like the traditionalists. They were very conservative. They hated Roman rule. And they hated the idea of their money going to support pagan Rome and all the things that Rome was about, all its corruption and everything like that. So every time they paid their taxes, it reminded them that they were not a free people, and that they were supporting the very nation that oppressed them, and they hated that. They hated that all the time. The Herodians, on the other side, they were political Jews. They weren't a religious group at all. It was a political group, and they had given their political allegiance to Rome. So they liked the idea of friendship with Rome, and they had no problem paying their taxes to Rome. In fact, they're willing to give up everything that they are as Jews, their culture, their traditions, everything, to have this kind of friendship with Rome, because they saw Rome as the future. They saw Rome ruling the world, and they said, we got to get on board with this. We can't stay back in the old traditions, the old ways. We got to get on board with Rome. So both these groups saw it from a different perspective. These Herodians, they felt like, man, we never had it so good. Look at the roads we're riding our chariots on. Look at all the safety that we have. And so this isn't a problem for us at all to be tied into Rome. We're at peace. So under normal circumstances, these two groups in verse 13, they hated each other. But their hatred of Jesus was greater than their hatred of one another. So they unite together and they send representatives to make it appear that they're asking Jesus a legitimate question. So notice as we start this in verse 14, they approach Jesus and they try to butter him up first. They say, teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you don't regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. So it's saying, Jesus, we recognize that you don't care what anyone thinks of you. You always speak the truth. And you don't care who comes to ask a question of you. You're going to give them the truth. It doesn't matter whether they're a CEO of a company or they're the opposite end of that. You're going to treat people the same way. That's what they're saying. You're not a respecter of persons. It's interesting to note that all these things came from these guys observing Jesus. And Jesus was all those things. He didn't care about what people thought of him. He was going to tell people the truth. Then here's the question in the end of 14 and 15. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And then 15, shall we pay or shall we not pay? So the question is it okay, according to the law of Moses, to pay taxes to Caesar or not? And it was a really clever question because, pardon me, paying taxes to Rome was an issue that it divided the people for years and years and years. Most people hated Rome being there. And so that whole taxation issue was a real problem for them. Not like today. We just love paying our taxes. So that's not a problem for us at all. We just can't argue, right? Just, let's send it in early. You know, let's just send it in early. So they think when they ask this question, Jesus can only answer one of two ways. We got this guy. Because he can only answer one of two ways. Either it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, or it's not lawful to pay taxes to Caesar. It's either yes or it's no. So they ask the question with an or, but Jesus is going to give the answer with an and we'll see it as we go on through. So here's why the question was so potentially explosive. If Jesus says, you know, it's okay to pay your taxes to Rome, then the religious leaders would be able to rise up and paint to the nation of Israel that Jesus is a traitor. And the people, it would cause a great uproar to the people because they would have disowned Jesus at that point. They hated Rome. They hated giving their money to Rome. And the reason is because Rome was taxing its citizens to death. 49% is what they paid income tax to the kingdom of Rome, the Empire of Rome. 49%. And this particular tax that they're talking about here, as you translate it from the Greek, it's a poll tax. And it was a tax that everyone hated in the Roman Empire. The tax was levied on you for simply being alive. You breathe our air, you pay us your money. That's what this tax was. Yeah, well, we're almost there now, right? Yeah, we're not going there yet. So if Jesus had said, yes, it's good, we need to pay our taxes to Rome, the people would have disowned him. On the other side, if Jesus had said, you know, it's not lawful to pay your taxes to Rome, then the religious leaders here, the Herodians in particular, they'd have run to the Roman officials, and they accused Jesus of being an insurrectionist and leading a rebellion against Rome. And then the Romans would have come and instantly arrested Jesus. And then these guys' Jesus problem solved, because now Rome's in on it, and Rome would have put Jesus in jail, and that would have been the end of that. So Jesus got a little bit of a pickle here as you look at the question. They feel like they've got the perfect trap set for him. In their minds, this can't fail. So as we see, they walk up to Jesus, they're probably giddy with excitement. They already got the pizza party at Chuck E. Cheese planned afterwards, man. We're just going to have as much pizza, and then we're all going to the restroom afterwards. That's what happens. Anyway, 15 then. So there's the question, but Jesus, no, it says, knowing their hypocrisy. So he knows they're not asking a question with a sincere heart. They're trying to trap him. He says, why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So notice that Jesus requests a coin. Don't you find it fascinating that Jesus didn't have a coin? He didn't reach in his own pocket. He didn't have any money with him. Isn't it amazing when you think about that? So he asks the guy, show me a coin. And they give him a Roman coin. On one side would have been a picture of Caesar, and it would have had an inscription or a writing underneath it that said, Caesar Tiberius, divine son of Augustus. They thought that their rulers were divine. And then on the other side would have been a woman deity, which would have been the female goddess of peace. And this denarius would have been the equivalent of one day's wages. It would have been what they would have had to pay for this poll tax one day. So they say, hey, is it lawful to pay? The word there for pay comes from the root word, and it's important that you hear this, the root word deidomai, which means to pay or to give. And then in 16, as Jesus answers the question, so they bring him the coin, and then Jesus says to that, whose image and description inscription is this? They said Caesar's, of course. And then Jesus answered and said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render, if you will, to God the things that are God's. So the first word when they say, hey, is it lawful to pay taxes, is deidomai, which means to give. Jesus, when he answers the question in verse 17, he uses the word render. The word render is apodeidomai, which means to give back. So they say, Jesus, is it lawful to give to Caesar? And Jesus answers, you know what? It's good to give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but make sure you give back to God the things that are God. That's the important part here. How Jesus is responding to the question, give back to Caesar that which has Caesar's inscription on it. But you make sure you give back to God the things that are God's. So that's where we're going to land just for a little bit today. Excuse me. Notice the debt that people need to pay. It's twofold. The giving back that they need to pay. The first one is they have a debt to Caesar. Caesar made the tax, therefore we're to pay the tax. Give to Caesar that which bears his description and his image. So Jesus is saying, don't be afraid of paying your taxes to Rome. And in this, Jesus is plainly saying to these guys, just as he says to us, that government does have a rightful place in society and that Christian can and should live in subjection to the government. And we can live in subjection to the government and to God at the same time. So here we see a clear endorsement from Jesus of the divine institution of government. Because God's a God of law and order. And good government's the key to that in many respects in this fallen world. Paul says the same thing over in Romans 13:6. Pay taxes to whom taxes is due, is what he said. So as you want to study it, you'll see all through Scripture, God's very clear on this. 1 Peter 2:13-17, if you're a note taker. And then again, the Romans verse 13:1-8, it says, you know what, we're to pay our taxes. And some of you might say, well, you know what, I don't like what they do with my tax money. Do you like the roads you drive on? What about the bridges you're going across? You like the fact that they're safe? You know, I went down to see my buddy who's dying of brain cancer in Evansville, and I rode on the new I-69. It was awesome. I was on the road by myself for about 15, 20 miles because it was terrific. Do you like the fact that the police department's active in your community? You know, you like that Denny Smith's here. He's a fireman. Gavs must be at the firehouse today. I saw Monica somewhere. Is he at the firehouse today? You know? Your tax dollars are going to support those guys. You like the fact that Shane is protecting us Shane's in Japan, in the Marines. You know, your tax dollars are going there. So that's an element of it. Now, I'm with you that I know that our government spends our tax dollars in ways that just makes you want to spit sometimes. But you know what? Our government leaders are accountable to God for how they choose to spend our money. We're accountable to God to give it. Okay, we'll just leave it right there. And so if we don't like the how they're spending it, maybe we just need to maybe get involved and try to change it. We just don't stop paying it. That's not a biblical principle. Okay, so the first debt that we owe is to Caesar. And then the second debt, notice there in 17, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and if you will, render to God the things that are God's. So the second debt, second thing we're to give back to God about is the things that are God's. We give back to God the things that are God's. So the image that was on the coin was Caesar because the coin was created in his image. In Genesis 1:27, it tells us that you and I are created in the image of God Almighty. So the coin belonged to Caesar because it was created in his image, and we belong to God because we're created in his image. You know what that means, right? Everything we are, everything we have belongs to God. And Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 6:19, he said, we're not even our own, that we've been bought with a price. So we think, you know, it's my house, it's my car, it's my job, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it all belongs to him. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that dwell there within. So the point Jesus is making here is really quite simple, that everything we have, everything we are, belongs to God. My stuff, my career, my family, my intellect, even my worship, my praise belongs to God. I'm to offer that back to God, right? So, what has God given you that he would say, give back to God? What about the simple things. And I know, you know, all the other things and stuff and stuff. But what about your mouth? Think of the things that a mouth can do. I got one. I hear myself. What comes out of our mouths? Is it grace? Does it benefit those who hear it? You know, we have the potential to speak things that will change a person's eternity. Right from here. And God's given, I can't say ask everybody who's coming in, but pretty sure everybody came in has the ability to speak. God's given you that. What about your ears? I don't know that everybody, I think I know everybody here. You may have a little hearing aid or not, but you still can hear. God's given you the ability to hear, to listen. How good of a listener are you? You know, God's given me a wife. For 20 years, that woman's put up with me. Can you believe that? I mean, I can't. My dog barely can live. Well, he died before he was 15, so he couldn't put up with me more than that. He's dead. 20 years she put up with me. And, you know, he's given me kids that I'm crazy about. And he's let me do the things that I love. And again, I was able to be at the wedding yesterday and got to be a part of the wedding. It was just so much fun. He's given me a destiny. He's given me a future. He's given me hope. He's given me a son. And he's given you those things too, yeah? He has. So we're created in God's image. Therefore, it all belongs to him. So let's give back to God the things that are God's. Okay? That's the lesson today. My kids go to Mount Vernon. One of their friends was killed in a car accident this week. I mean, they know him well. He came to this church for a while. Sat right over there. Had given his life to Christ when he was about freshman in high school, maybe sophomore in high school. He gave his life to Christ because a kid in our youth group shared with him because he didn't have that in his life. His dad, I think, had passed away. His brother is in prison, still is. That kid's in heaven today because somebody shared the love of God with that boy. And that kid that shared his faith with that boy had no idea that that boy was going to die last Thursday. He had no idea that that boy was going to live to 19 years old. When he shared with him when that boy was 15, 16, he had no idea that he was going to meet Jesus that day on that road right outside of Greenfield up by Maxwell. He had no idea. So Shelby calls me, my daughter, who's a senior at Mount Vernon. She calls me on Thursday. Was it Thursday? Real emotional. Of course, their friend. He was in choir with them, was in all the dramas with them and all that. I mean, my kids knew him really well. We knew him. So she calls. She's really emotional. Trying to hear, you know how it is. And first I had to think, are you okay? Is you in an accident? And then finally I heard her talk about Logan and first thing my daughter says, Daddy, which all she has to say is Daddy, and I'm like melted. Daddy, tell me he's in heaven. Daddy, tell me he's in heaven. It reminded me of John the Baptist when he was at toward the end of his life and says, you know what? So he sent his disciples to Jesus. Jesus, are you really the one? Jesus, just tell me that you're really the one. Because right now I just need to know. And you remember how Jesus responded? Yeah, you know, I've been doing this, and I've been doing this. And John's about to say, woo, doggy. It was the first thing my kid thought of is, God, Toby, Daddy, tell me. Tell me he's in heaven. And here's, and of course, he's like, Shelby, he gave his life to Jesus, and we trust what God says to be true. That if I say, God, I admit I'm a sinner, I believe in you, I accept the gift of eternal life, that God seals me as his kid. And I have an eternal destiny with God. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible says? If you're not sure about that, let's talk, okay? Because I want to help you understand. That's what God says. So she hangs up the phone, and I think to myself. And I want to be a little delicate here, but I think to myself. Why is it that we ask that question after they die? Why is it that we wait to then?
That we would turn to the pastor or we turn to a friend and say, do you think he's in heaven? You realize tomorrow morning you're going to get up and you're going to go to work with people that you have no idea if they're going to be there the next day. Right? Why aren't we asking that question right now? God, is there anybody in my workplace who doesn't know you that if that day comes for them, when that day comes for them, I want to know that they love you because I have shared with them, if you give me the privilege, Lord, the opportunity to share with them the fact that you love them. And I'm going to carry that with me everywhere I go, everything I do. I'm going to have that burden because, God, I want to give back to you love. And the way I know I can give back to you love, God, is that I'm going to share with everybody I come across that you love them and you desire to know them for eternity. But instead, we're afraid because we're afraid to step on toes or we're afraid to offend or we're afraid. But you know what? They're going to die one day. And then we're going to be at their funeral home and you're going to wonder, maybe I should have done more. Yeah. Yeah. It starts now. Right? It starts now, and I know a lot of you are about this. I just want to try best I can to encourage you that this is the giving back to God that he talks about here. Is my life's not my own. And I offer my life to you. When I gave my life to Christ, I'm dead to myself, right? Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So what I'm doing is I'm just want to live for God. And one of the things that God calls me to is go represent me in a needy world. So we go to school tomorrow. We go to work tomorrow. Heck, we go to Chuck E. Cheese this afternoon. People need Jesus all around us. And then, of course, you hear about the tragedy in Connecticut. And all the things that went on there. It's a wicked, wicked world out there. And all I'm trying to help us recognize is that we have a privilege of being a light into a needy world. But you know what I'm doing? I'm only thinking about me. I'm only caring about me. Everything's filtered through how it affects me. And so I'm in line and I'm waiting and I'm thinking, how can I possibly be in the longest line ever? Every time I come to Walmart, I'm always at the line that they have to turn on the flasher light, calling for this officer or calling for the manager, and here I am. Why can't I look at that? You know what, Lord? Okay, I'm just going to enjoy being right here and I'm going to love on people around me. Instead of getting mad, Lord, there's a reason for me to be in this line. I'm just going to make sure that my light shines for you right here. But I'm so focused on my own little world that I miss the opportunities that God gives me every day. Every day. I pray you'd hear this as an encouragement. Pray for Mount Vernon High School. It's a challenging time. But I believe, and I shared with Shelby when she came home, I said, Shelby, you got to see this as a great opportunity to share with your friends about God and how much he loves them. The funeral's Tuesday at 11. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you at some point during your day today. Try to get along with God. 5 minutes. It'd be great if it's longer than 5 minutes, but 5 minutes. Just try to get along with God. And think, Lord, what have you given me? How about your health? The fact that you walk. Lord, are my feet given over to the things of you? Do I go to the places that you want me to go? Lord, you've given me a mouth. Do the things that come out of my mouth, are they edifying? Do they bless people? Am I ashamed to open my mouth and tell people about how much you love them? Lord, you've given me my ears. Lord, can I sit patiently and wait as someone takes maybe even an hour to pour out their heart? Can I just wait and listen? Just encourage. You know, I go to the retirement home
Every Tuesday, I'm done a Bible study there for 20 years. The lady there is dying of leukemia, so they called me, and I went over on whatever day, yesterday. She's 95, and so she's in her bed, but she's alert, but they don't think she's going to live through today. She wanted just to talk to me. And so I just got on my knees beside her and just listen. She didn't need me to tell her anything. She just wanted me to hear her. Toby, I love God. I'm so excited about going and being with God. Now, you know what? I get up from conversations like that and they say, man, Pastor, that is so cool. And I think to myself, I didn't say a darn thing. But I was patient enough to listen. Lord, thank you for my ears. Give me a real listening heart for people that are around me. Lord, you've given me resources. How can I use the resources that you've given me to bless others? Just things that I've thought about. Lord, you've given me time. Do I take it all to myself or do I offer it back to you, God? God, you've given me your only son. You withheld nothing. So how can I withhold anything from you? So I'd ask you just at some point today, take some inventory about this. It says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. So the Bible study today is, let's give back to Caesar's the things that are Caesar's, the things that bear his image and bear his inscription. Let's give back to Uncle Sam. You know, they named him Uncle, so they kind of give us this sense of he's a friend of ours. I'm not so sure about that all the time. But let's give back to God the things that are God's. Amen. Here, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the time we have today to study your word and for this hopefully encouraging time. Lord, we live in a time when so many people, they've lost their bearings. They don't know up from down. They think they do. They act like they do. But Lord, our nation, in a lot of ways, we've lost our minds. Because in my mind, is we've turned our back on you. And this is what you get when you live in an immoral society. But Lord, you've called us to be a light to a needy world. You've called us to be salt. And I pray before you, Lord, just as we sit for a minute or two, that we would recommit ourselves to walking with you and giving back to you the things that you deserve. And we wouldn't withhold. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would use us for your glory. Lord, we ask that the people, even now as we just pray, the people that come to our minds that we know don't know you, we just lift them before you, God. Lord, we pray for the students that are represented in this church all throughout this county and in Marion County, Lord. We lift every student at Warren Central High School, God. And the staff there and the custodial staff, Lord, we just lift every one of them. We lift every kid and staff at Mount Vernon and New Pal and Greenfield and Covenant. Lord, we pray a revival in these schools, Lord. We thank you for our young people, Lord. Lord, that they're going to go into school tomorrow. And I pray that you'd give them a boldness. I pray you'd give them a passion for the things of you. I pray you'd just give them favor with their classmates. We pray that people would give their life to Jesus this week in our schools, God. And we thank you for the businesses that we represent, the communities that we represent. Gosh, we come all the way from Noblesville all the way around to the South Side, Lord. We represent all those communities. Lord, I pray that we would be such an influence for you and our communities, God. Lord, we want to give back to you. So, Lord, as we just take a little time now, we want to give back to you the praise and the worship that you deserve. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus for us, God. Thank you, Jesus, for willing to go to that cross and die for me, for us. We worship you in this place, God, because you're good, because you're majestic. Thank you that because of Jesus, we can approach you with confidence, and we do right now, God. So inhabit our praises, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.